Anton Fisk.
All right, very good. Thank you. Awesome. Wonderful to be a part of the house of God with you. Say in the house, but you are the house. So in a sense, we are in, but we're part of the house. We're the house of God. And it's really good news to say, come and let us go to the house of the Lord, isn't it? This morning, I'm really sensing some things for the season called the New Year. And concerning what our focus should be as the children of God. And so, obviously, we're reminded this time of the year of the Christmas story. We had a wonderful celebration last night. And so I want to start with that little foundation, but I want to talk about His kingdom come and His will being done this morning. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus broke into humanity. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords became flesh, and He moved into the neighborhood, and He moved into God's plan. He moved into the families of men. And He didn't just intend for that to be 2,000 years ago. He intended for that to be now. You know, when Jesus said to pray, He said, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed your name, or holy is your name. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In that text, in the Greek text, whether you look at it in Matthew or you look at it in Luke, it says, let your kingdom come. That word come, the verb tense, is both perfect or present and imperfect. It's not aorist. It's not futurist. It's not something in the past. It's not something in the future. It's something that's always present and always totally in the present. So it's present, it's happened, and it's imperfect, meaning it's going to continue to happen. So He said, pray this, let your kingdom come, let your kingdom be present now on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done present on earth right now as it is in heaven. But then that present moment moves into the moment of tomorrow, because it's also a tense of imperfect. There's always more. There's always something next. And so I'm reminded of that this morning as we consider the King. So let me just refresh us on some things that were spoken of this King. And the things that were spoken of this King when He moved into the neighborhood 2,000 years ago were things that were spoken from heaven to the earth. They were spoken through prophetic word in the earth, through heavenly voices. They were spoken through angels who testified to what was going on. They were spoken through signs in the heaven. So no matter where you look to find this present tense King, this King of the kingdom come and the will being done, you had to look to where is the voice of heaven? What is coming from heaven? So you had to look to the stars, as wise men did, and on their journey, they probably journeyed for a year or 2 years. 2 years was their search, because King Herod asked from the moment they had seen the sign in the heaven how long it had been, and he assessed then that to get rid of this new king that had been born, he would have to kill all the children in Bethlehem who were 2 years old and younger. So for 2 years, wise men had been searching out the King of the kingdom come, His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. They had been searching out for 2 years. A sign in heaven was telling them the moment is now. And they did not go to the place where the star was. The star went before them until it finally rested over the place where Jesus was. We often think in the Christmas story that when Jesus was born, you know, he was in the stable. We say it was a stable. Likely it was probably a cave, but we say it was a stable, and it makes a nice Christmas picture. And actually, it's quite nice to put them all together because it reminds us of the full story. But that's really a metaphor of the whole story, because in the whole story, the wise men didn't come until he was a little child, and they didn't come to the stable. They went to the house. It's interesting. We don't even know how many wise men there were. We thought we know there are three because that's what the song said, but that's not what the scripture said. The scripture just doesn't say. And so we know that there could be four because there was a movie made about the fourth wise man, and I quite like that movie. If you've never seen it, you should watch it, The Fourth Wise Man. But in the cultures of that day, there could have been 10 or 11 wise men. It was quite common for wise men to travel in groups that were larger than that, but we assess that there are three because they gave three gifts. Okay, so we say a gift for each wise man. But maybe it was a troop of wise men who brought the three gifts. I don't know. But in any case, it was some people who were studying the signs in the heaven to figure out what's next on earth. There were some people who were wise enough to understand that the future of the world is not determined by what's happening in the earth. It's determined by something beyond this earth. They were wise enough to understand that the future of their tomorrow was not determined by all the days of their past, but by something they had never seen before. If we're wise this morning, we'll understand that the future of tomorrow, even the future called 2017, is not determined by what we can see going on in the earth, but it's determined by what is God saying in the heavens. You know, the speed of light, it takes a long time for the light of a star to reach heaven. We term it in science, it's light years away. And I don't know how many years, maybe thousands of years, that star was set in heaven. The stars that you saw in a meteor shower just this last week, I think there was a meteor shower, and so you saw falling stars. Those stars that you saw falling from heaven, if you did, they didn't fall last week. They fell maybe thousands of years ago, and the light now just approached that you saw them falling. The speed of light, okay? I mean, the universes are amazing. So, I mean, that's a shock right there, isn't it? You're like, I can feel it, okay? So, in other words, God has determined some things ahead of time about tomorrow. And so what's happening in the earth is too slow to possibly know what's happening next. God has determined what's going to happen in his kingdom come, his will be done in 2017 before this moment. So what happened in 2016 is too slow to calculate what's next. So if I'm looking at the natural world around me, it's too slow, it's stuck in time, it's not released by the power of God's endless love and supernatural abilities. So the sign came from heaven. So the hosts and the signs of heaven announced that Jesus would be a ruler in Israel. He'd be a ruler among his people. He would save his people. Have you ever needed saving? I think we probably need a little saving still. I mean, I saw some people stand up. We need some saving. He saved my soul. That doesn't just mean that he saved my soul so when I die, I go to heaven. That's great. That's good. That's fantastic. That's phenomenal. But the saving of my soul was also the saving of my thoughts and the saving of my reasoning, my strategy, the saving of my emotions, the saving of my desires, the saving of my imagination. I think a lot of the church needs to get their imaginations saved. I think they need to get their emotions saved. I think they need to get their desires saved. I think that a lot of the church needs to get their strategies saved and their thoughts saved. For sure, everyone in the world needs to get those things saved, but much of the church needs to get those things saved. Because we're content to think that his kingdom come and his will being done on earth means he's given me life insurance so that when that day comes, I'll be okay. But the word come is in the present and imperfect tense. So I want his kingdom to come and his will be done for me and my household in 2017. Ah. And so I need the king. If I want his kingdom to come and his will to be done, I need the one who will rule in Israel. I need the one who saves his people. It says he would feed his flock. The angels announced it. Prophetic voice announced it. Said he would feed his flock. He would shepherd his people. There was nothing on earth that was saying he will feed his flock. He will shepherd his people. Only the prophetic voice, which is a heavenly voice through the prophetic spirit, only the voice through Gabriel, only the voice through the angels, only the voice through the stars and the heavenly host, only the voice of heaven was declaring what was needed. It was not the voices of the Caesars. It was not the voices of Herod. It was not the voices of even Joseph or Mary, apart from the Holy Spirit. Even Joseph himself, a righteous man, had to be visited by a voice in the night to understand God's plan. Because in his righteousness, he was willing to issue a decree of divorce to Mary when he found out she was pregnant. In his righteousness. Because based on what he knew, it was only right to issue a certificate of divorce and release her from the covenant because of her condition. Because he did not understand that the news that came to her concerning her pregnancy was something that came from heaven that defied the limited understanding of clean or unclean, of holy or unholy. And so God had to announce to him by the voice of an angel in a dream, came to him and declared to him that this which was in Mary was holy, and that this was Jesus, and he would be Savior of his people. And so Joseph had to receive a news in his spirit that was different than the news of his day, different than the news of his culture, different than the news of Torah law. He had to receive a news that came from the place of his kingdom come, his will being done. He had to receive the news that comes from the place of the present tense and the imperfect tense of the coming of the Lord. Not something in the future, something now. Not something in the past, something now. Okay, I want to receive his kingdom come, his will be done in 2017 for Clay Cross. I want to receive his kingdom come, his will be done for 2017 in Ted and Bonnie Hansen and their family. I want to receive his kingdom come, his will be done in my community, in my city for 2017. I want to receive his kingdom come, his will be done in America for 2017. And it's not based upon the political voices of those who are on the right or are those who are on the left. It's based upon what is heaven saying? What's the voice of heaven saying? I want to receive what's the good news of his kingdom come, his will be done for Britain, for the United Kingdom, for England this year in 2017. But it's not based upon those who say Brexit or not, or it's not based upon the political environments or the natural arenas of the United Kingdom. It's based upon what is heaven saying right now. What are the signs in heaven? What's the voice of the Holy Spirit? What are the angels announcing? What is being said in the place that is before present time that's in the heavens? You see, you're looking at stars in the heaven that you think are in the future, but they're actually in the past. Even as Jesus was the Lamb who was slain before the foundations of the world were laid, and even as God said that the law was the shadow of the good thing to come, in Hebrews 10, verse 1, only confirming that what is in heaven precedes everything that you see on earth. So there's something going on in heaven. Maybe you're wrestling in your life right now. You're battling with sickness, or you're battling with oppression or depression. Maybe you're battling with some discouragement or a little bit of hope deferred has tried to break into the door of your house. So what's the future of your house? It's not based upon that news that's knocking on your door. It's not based upon that sickness, that illness. It's not based upon that little breach of deferment in your hope. It's based upon what is heaven saying right now concerning the kingdom of God. What is heaven saying right now concerning the kingdom of God in your life? He's able to do impossible things. It said of this Jesus, before he was born, heaven announced that he would reign in the house of Jacob. Jacob means those who seek God, but specifically, it's those who seek God in order to be the blessing of God in the earth. Jacob didn't seek God to be blessed. He sought God to be the blessing that Abraham was. He sought God to be the blessing that his father Isaac was. He sought God to be the blessing that God promised would come into the earth, that would be the promise that said all the nations would be blessed because of it. So he reigns over the house of those who seek him. It said that Jesus would give light to those who are in darkness. If I look at my season called the end of 2016, I can surely see darkness. Last night I was in my little room there, and there was darkness down the hallway. There was some discontentment in some domestic domain for about 3 hours. Some woman was screaming at either her boyfriend or her husband. I don't know. They were rooming together, but obviously they weren't dwelling together. I thought I was going to have to call the police. I thought maybe I'd have to intervene, because there was no peace on earth, goodwill toward men, going on down the hallway last night. And so there was some darkness. And so I thought, my goodness, that poor lady, that poor man, they need some light to break into their darkness. They're very unhappy. Maybe it took some drink to loosen up the heart to discover how unhappy they were. I don't know, but probably. Sometimes we need to loosen up in our hearts to identify the reality of our lives as we see it. But it said that this Jesus would give light to the darkness. That's what heaven was saying. At the time Jesus was born, 2,000 years ago, the angels were announcing. The prophetic voice was announcing. Gabriel was declaring it. The Holy Spirit was declaring it. Dreams that came to Joseph were saying it. The star in heaven was announcing it. They were saying that he would guide the feet of God's people into peace. Peace is a place where there's no gap between us and God, no separation between us and his house. Peace is the place where you have the access key to the storehouses of heaven, and nothing lacking can be because you have access to all the cupboards and all the supply that's in his house. It says that he would be the Christ. He would be the anointed oil that breaks every yoke. He would be the Messiah. He'd be the Lord. John even preceded this Jesus in his birth. John was conceived 6 months before Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so even in the earth, there was something heavenly that touched the earth that was announcing what was coming. And John proclaimed that this concerning Jesus before John even recognized who he was. Amazing. John's mother, Elizabeth, who was barren, pregnant with John, when Mary came to her, little John was filled with the Holy Spirit in Elizabeth's womb, and little baby John began to leap in his mother Elizabeth's womb when Mary, with just the conceived seed of Jesus in her womb, was there. Just the tiniest measure of the king in the room caused little John to leap. But then little John was born, and little John grew up, and he knew his cousin Jesus. But he didn't know that his cousin Jesus was Christ the Lord. Not until Jesus was 30 and Jesus came to be baptized by John did John recognize who he was. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world." Familiarity of John's world could have hindered John from hearing the news of his kingdom come, his will being done on earth, as it is in heaven. Familiarity with his cousin could have hindered him. It hindered the brothers and sisters of Jesus. Because while Jesus walked as a man, even those who slept in the same house as him, ate at the same table, saw even the miracles. I don't know, maybe at the house of Jesus when he was growing up, maybe when Mary said, "Oh, would you get us some water, Jesus?" Maybe Jesus brought water to the dinner table and it turned to wine. I don't know. She obviously knew he could do things when they ran out of wine at the wedding feast. But even in the house of Jesus, the natural surroundings weren't powerful enough for the brothers and sisters of Jesus to recognize the kingdom come, the will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the neighborhood, the community, the carpenter shop of Nazareth, that not many miracles, God himself, God in flesh, God could not do very many miracles in his hometown because everybody knew him naturally. And they could not see his kingdom come, his will being done. And you say, well, how does that pertain to his kingdom come and his will being done? Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then you'll know the kingdom of God has come upon you. And surely, in the hometown of Nazareth, Jesus had tried to demonstrate the kingdom of God coming and the will of God being done. It says of this Jesus that he would heal all kinds of sicknesses. He would heal all kinds of diseases. He would preach good news of the kingdom. When John spoke of him, he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's interesting that when Jesus spoke in the Bible, some Bible translations, even my Bible translation, the New King James, it says Jesus went about preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But if you look at some of the older Greek manuscripts, when Jesus said it, he actually said, the kingdom of heaven has come nigh unto you. Whereas John said it, the kingdom of heaven is within your reach. So John could say the kingdom of heaven is coming soon, but Jesus would say the kingdom of heaven is right in front of you. And if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then you'll know the kingdom of God has come upon you. So although John could announce a news of heaven from a close proximity, only Jesus could bring the news of heaven in a present and imperfect tense. So when Jesus was born, he was born in Bethlehem, a place called House of Bread. That works for me. My ministry is called House of Bread based upon a personal experience when God called me in ministry, because he told me I had been robbing the children of their bread because I had taken the children's bread and fed my face, and that I had been living for 30 years of my life for my own kingdom come and my own will being done. Although I had never backslid as a Christian, I had been a worship leader and a worship director for 15 years. Well, for 12 years at that point. But God said, you've taken the children's bread and you've stuffed your face. And so I made a covenant with him that I would let my life be bread. And Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1 and 2 are the two verses of the foundation of House of Bread ministry, which is my life. If I cast my bread upon the waters, I'll receive portions 7 and even 8. Don't withhold my bread. How do I know whether this will succeed or that? But I'm to let my life be bread to the nation. So I come to Clay Cross because Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And so was I. And I think so were you. Because he made it so that we could be life for the world. He didn't make it so that we could be the judges of the world. He made it so that we could be those who have the testimony of his kingdom come and his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Because the very next line he said when he taught us to pray, he said, say, give us this day our daily bread. I believe that your daily bread is not enough for you, but it's enough for you to be enough for everyone else. I believe that your daily bread is not enough for you, but it's enough for you to be enough for everyone else. He doesn't want to just meet your needs. He said that's what people who don't know God think about. He said people who know God seek first the kingdom of God because they know all their needs will be added to them. They have a Father who loves them. So I ask for my daily bread not to meet my needs. I ask for my daily bread because people are knocking on my door and they cannot find any God bread. And I'm hoping that my house will have enough God bread that they can taste and eat and know that He is good, and they too can become a house of bread. So the kingdom of God, it's a present and imperfect tense. I shared this last night in the little service, but I have to say it because I'm talking about the focus of 2017, and I'm not going to be too long here. And I'm going to give us a phrase, a prophetic phrase of some things I'm hearing as I'm listening to Holy Spirit, as I'm encountering dreams, as I'm looking to the heavens, as I'm listening to what is being said in heaven. Not looking at what is being said in the political arenas of the world, or what is being said in the political arenas of the church, or what is being said in the natural circumstances of my life. But what is going on in heaven's gate? What is going on in heaven's gate? I'm not concerned with what's going on in hell's gate. I'm concerned with what's going on in heaven's gate, because whatever is happening in heaven's gate is enough to overcome hell's gate. So I'm not defending myself against an enemy. I have an enemy that defends himself against me. Jesus never defended himself against the devil. The devil simply tried to resist him, but he couldn't. Jesus never attacked the enemy. The enemy simply tried to attack him, but it never changed one ounce of who Jesus was. Darkness could not overtake him. It could not comprehend him. It could not overpower him, because he is light. When Jesus became a man, this king, he was born in Bethlehem. He grew up, he became a king. And then I shared this last night. One day, a very wise teacher who had studied the things of God named Nicodemus came to Jesus one night. I like to say he was the first Nick at night. For those of you that understand Nick at night, but that may be only Americans that know that. But Nick came to Jesus at night and he said, I perceive that you're a great teacher. I've made an analysis. I have assessed some things. I've been studying. I've been studying you. I've been looking at you, Jesus. I perceive. I don't just casually think. I perceive that you're a great teacher and that God is with you. God knows that you need something more than a great teacher. I'm 61 and I've come to find out at this point in life, knowing what I'm doing is not the most important thing. And it's not always necessary. Matter of fact, it's most often not necessary. I used to think it was necessary, knowing what I'm doing. But I've discovered that following Him, loving Him, letting Him love me, I very often just simply fall forward in the right direction in my meanderings of connection with the one who loves me. I'm not as smart as I thought, and it's okay. Kind of like that song we used to sing, when all is stripped away, when the music fades, and I simply come, all is stripped away. You know, I don't need, He doesn't need anything from me. I don't need to be smart. But Nicodemus, he was trying to please God, and he looked at Jesus, I perceive you're a great teacher, and God's with you, couldn't be doing all this awesome stuff, these miracles, these healings, these deliverances. You couldn't be doing this if you weren't a great teacher of God. So Jesus says to Nicodemus, Nick, let me tell you the truth. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus is trying to be smart. He's not trying to be, you know, sassy. He's not trying to be that kind of smart. He's trying to be serious. He's trying to figure this out. He's looking, he's thinking, what are you talking about, Jesus? I'm old. I'm not in a new moment of my life here. I mean, what am I going to do? Go back into my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, Nick, it's like the wind. Now, I know we've arrived at the point in time where science has studied the wind, and we have meteorologists, we have weathermen, weatherwomen who try to predict the weather to us, and every now and then they hit it right, and they're more accurate than they used to be simply because they've been trying enough. And maybe if, you know, just you guess where the wind is coming from, you can go and you can get a report of what wind, the direction, where it's coming from. But in Nick's day, they didn't have all that information, so Jesus wasn't trying to defy science or disprove science. He was just trying to be as simple as he could to say, Nick, you've got to understand that the kingdom of heaven is a mystery. This morning in prayer, we were praying, and the word, he's wonderful. It means he's insurpassable, unimaginable. He's a mystery. Before you can even know him as Counselor and Mighty God and Father, Everlasting Father, or Prince of Peace, your first encounter with him is, I don't get it. I can't understand. It's beyond comprehension. So when you're facing 2017 and you're dealing with sickness or disease or a crack in your door where some deferred hope has tried to enter into the house, some measure of darkness has tried to take over some rooms of your territory, some political environments have tried to wage war with the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. And the thing about the knowledge of good, someone's always good and someone else is always evil. Another way of putting it, someone's always right and someone's always wrong, and it's never you that's wrong. In the realm of the knowledge of good and evil. And a lot of people have died wrongly with words that were right. Even God spoke by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Scriptures to say that the letter of Scripture by itself will kill you. But only the Spirit can give life. So Jesus says to Nicodemus, so in your situation, the kingdom of God, you cannot see the kingdom unless you're born again. It's like the wind. You don't know. Now, if you could assess heaven, you could figure out where the wind's coming from, but it's like the wind. You don't know what's next, what's happening. And so you have to be born again. Jesus said to a group of Pharisees one day, they came to him in Luke 17, 21 and 22, they came to him and said, what will be the sign of the coming of your kingdom? These two verses, I love these two verses. I wish I could just impregnate all humanity, especially the church, for sure the church, with these two verses. When Jesus looked to them and he said, the kingdom of God does not come by observation. And what he was talking about, the kingdom of God cannot be naturally observed. It cannot be naturally understood. He said, and when they say, see here or see there, don't believe them. He said, when I come, every eye will see me. Even in the very first century, within 40 years after Jesus said those words, at the siege of Jerusalem under the rule of Nero, there was a group of Jews in Jerusalem that were held up in the city gates of Jerusalem. And there was a man who said he was the Messiah. It's written in the writings of Josephus, a historical account of those days in the Jews. And there was a man who went out into the desert and he proclaimed to Jerusalem that he was the Messiah. And 20,000 Jewish people went out into the wilderness to find this Messiah to be slaughtered by the Romans in one day. 20,000. But Jesus said, if they say that, don't believe them. And then he said, the kingdom of God does not come by observation. He said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Jesus said to Nick, you have got to be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. The king of the kingdom of heaven was born in a virgin named Mary in a town called Bethlehem. I want to present to you that the virgin birth of Mary is the same as being born again. It says in the Torah law that if a child is illegitimately born, they can never have a place in the house of God. You cannot enter into the house of God if you were born illegitimately. And the truth is, every one of us outside of Christ, by natural birth, first Adam is an illegitimate birth because you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you're born of water and of the Spirit. So unless you're born of water naturally and born of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. But once you're born again, once you experience this new birth, you experience a place where His kingdom comes, His will is done on earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom come, present and imperfect tense. His kingdom come, coming. It's like the word, the coming of the Lord. Parousia of the Lord is the same tense word. It's not a futurist word. Although there are culminations, He who began a good work in you is truly faithful to complete it. What He began is His kingdom come, His will be and done. Complete it is the fullness of the continual coming of the Lord in your life. So I'm very concerned in 2017 with what is His kingdom come and His will being done in me. Because Christ in me is the hope of glory. I'm very concerned with His kingdom come and His will being done in you. Because that is the future of Clay Cross. But I have to tell you that concerning His kingdom, you cannot measure the people that are outside of the kingdom by you who have the kingdom in you. You cannot put the guidelines, the restrictions, the qualities, or the expectations on the kings or the kingdoms of the world that are in the kingdom of God. You cannot expect the prime ministers, the presidents, the governors, the leaders, the husbands, the wives, the employers or the employees, you cannot expect them to be merciful and gracious. You cannot expect them to rule righteously. You cannot expect them to understand the decrees of heaven. They're still stuck in a kingdom outside of the kingdom, and they need to become like Ezekiel's wheel. They need to experience a revelation, a wheel within the wheel. They need to experience an encounter with God and become sons and daughters of God, not just sons and daughters of men. See, the kingdom of God is an internal kingdom. And it's miraculous. It's just as miraculous as the virgin birth. I got to say this. See, I'll be 44 years old in Christ this year. I'm 43 and a half right now, or a little bit more in Christ. I'm 61 years old on planet Earth, but almost 44 in Christ. But I have to say, concerning my life in Christ, I have to say that this life in Christ, I've got to remind myself that what happened in my life 44 years ago, 43 and a half years ago, was the same thing, just as miraculous as the woman Mary being visited by the angel Gabriel, and something was conceived in her that was of the King. The King of Kings was in her. It's a little different. I mean, you didn't get to kiss the baby, you didn't get to walk with Jesus, but you understand you have a greater experience than even the disciples. The disciples got the same experience that you have, but they didn't get it until after he ascended into heaven and poured out his Holy Spirit. And they entered into a place of Passover, Pentecost, and tabernacles, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, even to not loving their lives, even unto death. They entered into a realm where the zeal of the Lord of hosts consumed them. And they, because of the fear of the Lord, did not make decisions by the seeing of their eyes or the hearing of their ears. Are we going to make decisions in 2017 by the seeing of our eyes or the hearing of our ears? Or are we going to make decisions by His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven? What are you doing in the kingdom, God? Not what are you doing in the kingdoms out here. Don't be shaken when the kingdoms out here don't act like the kingdom of God. And don't say shame on you for not acting like the kingdom of God. Be the people that empower them to know, shame off of us. Don't be the people who judge those who are on the right or judge those who are on the left. Be the people who make the judgments of righteous justice, where the love of God comes and the sick are healed, diseases are healed, the Christ comes, the Lord comes, the light comes to darkness. Feet are led into the path of peace. His kingdom come. So let me say, just in closing, some things I hear. See, I believe that we're in a prophetic season. There's three phrases that come to me very strongly, and I'm going to be releasing, I've released some prophecy in this already, but I'm going to be releasing prophecy as the year comes. I'm feeling the pregnancy of a prophet a little bit. But there are three things, and I'm going to give these to you. Because whenever he comes, every eye sees him. So whatever he's coming in the earth, however the kingdom is coming in the earth in this season, those who are of his house see him. Wise men see him. Shepherds see him. Those who are tending to the flocks see him. Those who are looking to the heavens see him. Those who are looking to the earth don't see him. Those who are not tending, those who are not caring, those who are not searching, those who are not looking to love humanity, don't see him. But those who are looking to the kingdom of heaven and believing, our Father in heaven, holy is your name, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, they see him. And when we see him, we become like him. Because we see him as he is. Now we know there's an ultimate culmination of that, and we're changed. But I got to tell you, in 44 years, I've been changed many times. But every time I've been changed, it's not because I got smart. It's because I saw him. I saw him. Come on, you know. Anytime you have changed, it's not because you figured it out. It's because something happened in the kingdom. Something of the kingdom. Paul said the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's Passover, Pentecost, tabernacles. Righteousness, a total dependency. He passed over my death sentence, and death cannot enter my house. He is my righteousness. Internally, I know this by the Holy Spirit. God, you're my God. God, you're my God. No matter what direction the wind blows, no matter what circumstances come or what knocks on my door, in my heart the kingdom of God is, and the King is proclaiming, my righteousness is him. He's my Passover. No death sentence is able to enter my door. The blood of the covenant was shed, and the life of the Spirit has come to give me a right relationship with God as my Father. And in the kingdom, there's peace. There's no gap between me and God. There's no separation between me and that which is heavenly. And Holy Spirit abides in me, and something heavenly is coming off of me. At times it bubbles up as words of knowledge or words of wisdom or discerning of spirits. At times it comes with faith or miracles. At times I see healings. At times I see the fruit of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and self-control, goodness and kindness and gentleness. Something is coming off of me that is Pentecost. I'm looking more heavenly every day. The more I look to the kingdom, Holy Spirit resides in this place. He lives in me. I abide in him and he abides in me. And the kingdom of God is in me. I've got peace in the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is not a feast that I celebrate once a year. It's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. There's a constant speaking of the word of the Lord to my heart. There's a constant testimony of the power of his Spirit. And it's joy in the Holy Spirit. And joy is inexpressible. It's full of glory. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. I've covered. I've got a Father who loves me, and I'm not just a child. He's giving me the grace to become an overcoming son of God. I tabernacle with the one who cares. And like David, sometimes he stirs my heart and I think a thought. And he says to me, "Son, I like it. Let's go with it." If you've never experienced that and you're expecting God to tell you everything, the tabernacle of David was not God's idea. The tabernacle of Moses was. But when David came up with the idea of pitching a tent on that hill of Zion, God says, "Let's go with it, David. You're a man after my own heart." And he says, "I'll make it." "You can't do it, David. You can't do what's in your heart because you're a man of blood, but your son will do it." And he wasn't talking about Solomon. He was talking about the one we sang about today. He was talking about Jesus, the greater son of David. He would build that house that David thought of. Surely God thought of it, but because David lived in his heart with God as his father, he began to think like God. It's like Joshua in the battle. He's in the battle probably 12 hours slinging a sword. Maybe a finger is missing, maybe a few marks. And he says, "Give me another day. We can take these rotten defiers of God. We can take them. Give me another day, God." And it says that day, God listened to the voice of a man. God, I want to have moments where my heart is so much your heart that you listen to my voice. Not because I'm God, but because I've become so like you. I begin to say what you would say if you were to say it, even to the point that I love my life, not even unto death, like Joshua. God, woo. So the kingdom is inside of us. I'm talking to you about the kingdom of God that's in you. You were born again. There's a miracle in here. So here's the three things I hear for this year. I hear that God says that this is a season where there's going to be an uncovering, there's going to be an unveiling, and then there's going to be a recovering of the things as they should have been. There's going to be an uncovering, and there's going to be an unveiling, and there's going to be a recovering of things as they should have been. The uncovering is not the uncovering that is done like the uncovering of men. Not the uncovering like the uncovering of Noah's son who exposed his nakedness. Not an uncovering that exposes sin because love covers a multitude of sins. But an uncovering that exposes roots because it's from roots that fruits come. For it's roots that create that which is good, or roots that create that which cannot be life. And this is a season where I'm uncovering, and this shaking is going to go into the world. Watch and see, because even in the natural arenas and the secular arenas, this is a season where much corruption is going to be uncovered. Many things are going to come to the surface and come to the light that have been hidden, but that's not the good news. The good news is I'm coming to you to uncover in your life the things that have held you back. The things in your life that are like a gift, they're a flaw. Left to themselves, they destroy you. But when they're uncovered and revealed, they show you the very place that you need me the most. And when you find that place in this season, you're going to find that I'm quick to love and I'm quick to heal. I'm quick to transform. For as you were born is not as you should be. It's as you were born again to be. And I'm going to come and I'm going to deal with things that are even generational in your heart, generational in your family, generational in your city, generational in the communities of God. And I'm going to cause there to be an uncovering only so there can be an unveiling. And the unveiling is going to be an unveiling of solutions to that which has been uncovered. But it's not an unveiling of what is far away. It's an unveiling of what I put in your house. Don't you know that you are the house of my habitation? And in the house of my habitation, every treasure is there. Yet you cannot see what's before you unless there's an uncovering to see the need and an unveiling to discover, there it is. My kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then I'm going to restore that which should have been. And some things that you thought were lost, some things that you thought could never return again, things the cankerworm devoured, things that were destroyed by the moth and destroyed by the pestilence or the disease, I'm going to cause the very root of that which should have been to be restored. And I'm calling in a sevenfold return from all that has been taken from your house, and that which would have been will return in its full perfection. But it will happen because this is the season where I'm uncovering, I'm unveiling so that I can restore that which should have been. You'll see signs of this in the arenas of the natural, but don't look to the arenas of the natural to understand what I'm doing, for those are just signs of what is real. Look to your hearts and let me uncover. And don't be so strong that I cannot heal. For this is a season you're going to understand love like never before. You're going to understand justice in a new way. You're going to understand that mercy ended your past and grace empowers your future. And you will become people who are merciful. And you will become people who are full of grace. For this is another season in my measure to be the people of God, says God, and I'm doing it here. Don't look for the things that you can do. Look for who you can be in the things that you do. For the things that you do will not make you who you are, but when you discover who you are, the things that you put your hands to do will bring in a great harvest, says God. And I've given you many giftings and many talents, many abilities, many endeavors, many possibilities, but understand that it will only be as effective as my kingdom come and my will being done on earth as it is in heaven. But know that my kingdom is not afar away. My kingdom is within you. It's a place of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's the place where I rule and I reign. It's the place where I guide steps into peace. It's the place where I heal disease and I heal all sickness. It's the place where light comes to darkness. It's the place of Christ. It's the place of desire. It's the place of the Lord of Lords. So listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. Now, I want to say this in closing. You do not hear God with your souls. You hear God with your spirit. Then your spirit floods your soul, and your soul hears. It comes as thoughts. It comes as strategy. It comes as emotion, imagination. It comes as desire. But it comes from your spirit. Stir your spirit up more than you seek to stir your soul up, and then let your spirit stir up your soul. Stir your spirit up more than you seek to stir your soul up. Then let your spirit stir up your soul. And you'll find that even physically, you'll be whole. Okay? So listen with your spirit. And if you have to get really simple, just ha shiparo ko mania te te to rosata. Ha shike rosata ramasa. Ha, however you do that, get simple. Get simple. Go to the place that's wonderful. Shikate te boromasa. And stir up Holy Spirit, the one who's come in the name that's above all other names. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. See, something of heaven has been born in Bethlehem. Listen to your heart.
Thanks, Ted.